All right. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. Shane, why don't you go ahead and open us up in prayer, please?
All right. Everybody ready? All right. Father God, I just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us all here together in your name. I pray over Ray right now that you just anoint him and just let him bring forth your word, that it just touch us and resonate with us in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Last week, we talked about having a voice and how men of God and women of God have a voice to share with the world. Amen. So this week, we're going to follow up with not just having a voice, but it's having a voice with action. Okay? Because it's easy just to go ahead and talk. Okay? But when it comes down to it, it's what are your actions going to say? So this morning, we're kind of going to go through that and see what the scripture tells us, okay, on how important it is not just to have a voice, but to follow it up with action. Amen? It says, first of all, before I start, yesterday, whoever was here for the men's breakfast, Roger did a great job. Roger did an awesome job yesterday.
I hope everybody asked questions, Roger.
Well, I tell you this. I did not know last week that Roger wasn't going to be the person talking. I did not know that. And last week's title was Having a Voice. Right? And I'm sure that Roger, when they asked Roger, he probably thinking, well, I don't, what am I going to say? You know? You know, how can, you know, what am I going to say to these people, to the men? And he had a lot to say. But I tell you what, it touched every single man that was here yesterday morning. Okay, it was very powerful, and it came from his heart. Okay, everything he said came from his heart. And I know all the men that were here were touched by the words that he spoke. So it's just what a coincidence that last week I'm talking about having a voice. I didn't know that Roger is going to be speaking. The following week, Roger's the one that's going to be speaking. So you just never know when and how God's going to use you. Amen? So do people know who you are by what you say or what you do? It's a good question. Do people know who you are by what you just say or by what you do? It's a little story here. So John went to his first company Christmas party, which he just started working for. You know, they just started working for the company, so he went to the Christmas party. He wanted to kind of meet his coworkers. Wanted to see, you know, who the guys or girls were for the company he's working for. Wanted to kind of mingle and meet people, right? New guy on the job, wants to socialize a little bit. So as John went around introducing himself, he goes to the first person, "Hi, I'm John. I just started with the company. I'm the person that got Pete's position." The person replied, "Pete who?" Okay. So it says, "You know, Pete. He worked here for about 5 years." Guy replied, "Nope. Don't know him." So John went to the second person. "Hi, I'm John. I just got Pete's position." Guy replied, "Pete who?" "You know, the guy that was here for 5 years." Guy replies, "I heard of him, but really never knew him." How many people in the world know that or say that? "I've heard of him, but I don't know him." Right? And a lot of times, that's even true in Christian churches. Right? "I've heard of him, but I really don't know him." You know, and it's a shame because a lot of times they're in church 5, 10, 15, 20 years. "Well, don't you go to church?" "Yeah, I've been in church for 20 years. I've heard of him." Something about the pastor, I think the pastor mentioned him a few times when he's doing that talk thing he does up there. But they don't know him. So it says, this went over and over. You see, Pete worked there, but never made an effort to have a relationship with anyone. He put the time, but not the work. Yeah, went to church, right? But never really put an effort to socialize, to fellowship with his brothers and sisters. Because I tell you what, sometimes we go through things in life, we need to reach out to someone, okay? And we have brothers and sisters within the church that we can reach out to. That makes a lot of difference because I tell you what, there's a lot of people in the world that have absolutely no one to call. No one to call. Those are the ones that, you know, lock themselves within themselves and depression sets in and all this other stuff sets in. And their lives are just ruined because they just don't have nobody to reach out to. Thank God that we do. We got brothers and sisters. We tell people we go to church, but sometimes our actions say that's all we do. Yeah, it's not just about having a voice. It's about being a man and woman of action. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with what? Actions and in truth. God's truth. It's not just words, okay? Because if I can just go around telling people that, yeah, I'm a Christian and I go to church and I do this, but when I hit the streets, my actions are speaking something else, what am I witnessing? A lie. I'm witnessing a lie. Because God is not in me. If I'm doing everything they're doing, there's no difference in me than what the other person is doing. How can I convince him or her that loving God and giving their heart to God is the best thing in their life because it's going to change their life? And that word change, right? Bible says we're what? A new creation, right? So if I'm a new creation, it says what? The old is past. It's behind me now. I need to act different, right? Something should be different in me, and they should be able to see that. I mean, that is the greatest testimony you can give when somebody says, you know what? There's something different about you. There's something different about you. I might have mentioned this one time. I was on my way back from Wisconsin on a sales meeting, and one of the guys was giving me a ride back to Chicago so I can catch the train back home. And in the car, he's talking. We're talking back and forth, and he says a few cuss words. He stops himself. Says, "All right, I apologize." I said, "Why?" He goes, "I've been cussing, and I noticed that this whole time, the past 3 days, you haven't said not one cuss word." I said, "I don't cuss. I don't cuss." He goes, "I apologize. You know, I'm so sorry, man. I just, you know, it just came out." And he's apologized for about 5 minutes. I said, "You know what? It's okay. You know, I appreciate you at least acknowledging that and noticing that. So I appreciate that." But again, but if I was in a meeting and I'm swearing left and right, he's going to feel very comfortable swearing in the car. Why? That's what I was doing. So there's no difference in you. If my actions are speaking stronger than my words, because if I can tell them the whole time in a meeting I'm a Christian, but in the car I'm letting these bombs go, any different than he is? No. And John chapter 1 tells us about a man whom God gave a voice to go to Nineveh to speak to them about their wickedness that has come before God. And everybody has heard the story about Jonah. It says, but what was his reaction? God gave him a specific instruction what to do. Where to go. Not just what to do, where to go. It says, but what was his actions? He ran. He decided to go to Tarshish instead. The consequences of his action was what? 3 days and three nights in the belly of a big fish. The rest of the story you guys know. All right, he ends up in where God told him to go. Okay? And I like that on there, and again, the scripture has everything that's in there is for a reason. And we spoke about that last week. It says that God provided. It wasn't a coincidence when they threw him into the water that there happened to be a fish, you know, just swimming around. What a coincidence that on that day, on that moment, there was a big fish swimming around. God's word says that God provided. He put the fish in that water, right? God has a plan for everything that he does. We don't always know it, but he does. He says, don't we sometimes do that? God gives us specific instructions or talks to you, but we want to argue with him. Right? Like we know more than he does. Right? Hey, who knows Ray better than Ray?
Sandra.
I should have put that on there. Your wife. Amen? So I'm going to show a quick video about that. Everybody like this video? You got to listen to it.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys. Okay, what?
Like everything they do at this house, you can't trust everything at grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me. I asked you not to do something.
Linda, but listen to me. Look at, if you do something, if you get that out, that plastic off, you're going to break it.
Okay, but I'm asking, I'm letting you know
but
that you cannot.
You, Linda,
no,
Linda,
I'm.
Look it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda,
listen to me now.
Listen to me now. Listen to me.
No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask grandma.
Linda,
didn't you?
Linda, lick it. If we do something without this, if we get closer, you can't even get them. You're going to burn your butt.
What's going to burn your butt? Linda. You and Kevin don't listen, so I have to give both of you guys pawpaws in your butt.
But Linda, Ben's going to give you pawpaws in your butt.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I have to. You don't want me to hit Kevin, or you don't want him to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
Then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little pop-ups.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this. Right now, you can't do anything if we can't get everything out of the wall. If we're going to break everything down.
I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just letting you know
Linda,
you cannot
look
have
it,
cupcakes
look
for
look
dinner.
It, Linda. Like this thing, and I will belong to you. Anything, you can get anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
I'm done arguing with you.
You need to listen to the things that I say, because I'm the mom and I'm the
Linda,
adult.
Listen to me. All the time to get them this thing.
I'm done arguing with you.
Linda, I'm done arguing with you.
Amen. But how true is that if sometimes we do that as Christians? Right? God gives us an instruction to tell us to do something. And we're like, well, hold on, Jesus. Listen. Lord, I'm trying to tell you something, Lord. I know about this. You know? And you want to sit there and argue with God about something that he knows better than you do, all right? He knows what the end result's going to be. You don't. You think we do, right? And God gives us a specific instructions or tells us to do something, and we just want to argue with him. Listen, Lord. I know this. I know what I'm doing, right? I'm 50-something years old, 20-something years old. I've been doing this for a long time, Lord. Right? I've been here for a while. I know what I'm doing. And we want to argue with God. It says James chapter 2, verse 14 through 24. Said, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? If someone says to them, go in peace. Suppose a brother says to a sister without clothes and daily, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? The same way faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that is faith, and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. You know, again, I mean, and I think Bob touched on this last week. You know, somebody calls and it says, you know, they're in need of something, and you say, well, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. You know, they're hungry, or their car broke down, or whatever it is, okay? And they say, well, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, and just leave it at that. I think Bob mentioned, why not get up, go to the market, and get them something, right? That's words with action. Not only, brother, I'm going to pray for you, okay, but then you show up at his house, some groceries or whatever it is. Or you show up to help him. You show up with some tools to help him out. That's action. It takes action. There was a long while ago, you know, somebody had that little problem that, you know, it was always about, you know, saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I tell you what, I grew up, you know, my uncles always said, you know, you got to be a man of your word. Right? You got to be a man of your word. If you say you're going to do something, okay, you do it. You know, my mother was like that. My mother, when we were growing up, she didn't count to three before you got whacked. Okay, it wasn't, well, you know what, I'm going to put you in timeout, or I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. The kid's going like four, five, six. What happens? I've seen that happen. I've seen the kid sit there and just wait. Oh, that's it. Now you're going to be in timeout. It's going like, what happened to? I thought I was going to get hit. So when we were growing up, it wasn't about counting up to one, two, and three. My mom said, you're going to get hit. And I did something, and I got hit. I shouldn't have been in shock that I got hit. Right? She said, you're going to get hit. Right? Me and my brother, we used to, you know, having four boys in the house, we sometimes, you know, wrestle around and we get out of hand, and, you know, me and my brother one time got into a fight. And it seemed like almost every week me and my younger brother would get into a fight. And my mother always told us, brothers don't fight. Sitting that principle also apply in the church. Brothers and sisters don't fight. That's how we grew up. Brothers and sisters don't fight. You don't fight. You're blood. You don't fight. So my mom said, did I catch you guys fighting again? You're going to get it. We come home. My brother's all messed up. I'm all messed up. He says, okay. We had a couple of couches in this room. She took them all out, grabbed a belt and a tree, you know, stem. One of those. She locked the door. There was nowhere to run. There was nowhere to do it. She took all the furniture out so we couldn't hide behind anything. And I don't know how she did it because my mom was tiny. And there was a couch in the room with a couple of tables. And she took all that out. It took like two, three people to move it all in. My mom by herself picked it all up and just moved it all out. Right? And we got in trouble. Big time. So every time my mother would say, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Right? So shouldn't that be with us? You know, when we tell the world and we tell people that we're Christians, you know, shouldn't our actions back that up? Again, last week we talked about having a voice. You know, but again, what good is it if you tell people something, but your actions speak stronger than your words? If I tell people that I'm a Christian, but I'm doing the same thing they're doing, what's the difference? What are my actions speaking to him? My actions are speaking a whole lot louder than what I told them the week prior. You know, as Christians, our actions should speak stronger than our words. You know, we should be men and women of integrity. You know, loyalty. You know, when somebody looks at us, you know what? You can count on him. You can count on her. He or she is a man or woman of her word. You know? Because I tell you what, the world's looking at us every single day. Not just seeing what we say, but more importantly, what we do. They're watching you. Every single thing you say and every single thing you do, they're watching. And I've had people say that, you know, where I go get my hair cut at. You know, the guy tells me, I'm trying to get him to come to church, and I'm trying to, you know, reach out to this person. But there's another person that goes in there to also get a haircut. But his action, okay, don't back up what he says. Because he'll go in there and like, oh, you know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Okay? 5 minutes later, their actions are speaking something else. Some young lady walked by and, wow. So how can this person be convinced? Or how can he say, you know, why go to church if he is doing what everybody else is doing? What kind of Christian is going to do that? What kind of Christian will say, God loves you, and in this, and then a second later, their actions speak something else? How can you convince them to say, you know what? We are different. Not based on what you're doing. Again, our actions speak strong. You know, it's not just having a voice. You know, it's our actions. We got to make sure that what we do speaks louder than what we say. It has to be that way. I mean, that's just the way I grew up. You know, when I tell people I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, exactly. Good or bad. You know, good or bad. You know, when we grow up, growing up, we were the only Spanish kids in the neighborhood. Right? And for some reason, don't know why, they just didn't like us. Don't know why. I didn't do anything to anybody. So every single day we had a fight. About 5 or 6 kids, you know, here comes, you know, the little Hispanic kids, let's beat them up. And every single day we had a fight. It was my older brother, myself, and my younger brother. So my younger brother was being younger. We would tell him, go ahead and just start running. Okay, so me and my older brother, we just fight. And this was on every single day. We get out of school, we look across the street like, here we go again. All right, my brother, what's the plan? Okay, you take those three that way, I'll take these two that way, or, you know, we'll switch. And, you know, and we did this all the way home, from McKinney Street all the way to Toledo Street. So for about maybe, I don't know, 8 blocks or so, you know, and we fight and run and fight and run and fight and run, right? My mother said, that's it. That's enough. So here's what I want you to do. And when my mother said, you better do something, you better do it. She would tell us, this is it. The next time they fight, or they pick a fight, hit them so hard, right, and beat them down so hard that they'll never mess with you again. So I looked at my brother, and the next day, there they go across the street. You ready? All right, we got to end this now. And we did. And it was a big fight. You know, 6 guys against 2 of us. You know, and we had to do it. You know, and we told them just before we did that. He said, look, we're tired of you guys messing with us. Today's going to be the last day. They probably said, yeah, right. We meant what we said. And our actions backed it up. Because I tell you what, after that day, I became best friends with 2 of them. That's the way it goes. And in the school, hey, don't mess with those guys. Don't mess with those Puerto Ricans. You know, and those guys can fight. And they don't fight fair. No, we didn't. Back in the old days, well, shouldn't say that. Years ago, they had in the alleys, they had the garbage cans with the metal lids. Every house had that, those metal lids, the garbage cans. And that's what we used.
That was the original shield of faith.
That's what the original shield of faith, that's what that was. And that's what we used to defend ourselves, to beat them down with, so they can stop messing with us. So sometimes our actions are much more meaningful than words. A hug can sometimes express more than our words will ever express. You know, sometimes somebody just needs a hug. You know, sometimes just somebody just needs, right here, just being there to listen is more meaningful and helpful to people. Sometimes that's all they want, is somebody to listen. Well, I'm a great listener. Every time someone, I'm a great listener. No matter, I'm a great listener. And the person can't even get a word in. You know, oh yes, I got that gift of being a great listener. And the person can't get a word in. And then you leave. All right, you just call me. If you have got anything to say, you just call me, brother. And then you walk away. He's like, what happened? What just happened? I thought he said he was a great listener. He didn't listen to one word I said. Okay? His actions, he talked. That's all they did. But his actions spoke more. That person just wanted somebody to listen to them. They just needed to let something out. They just needed a good ear. Right? Or, so sometimes just a hug. You'd be surprised how many times people just want a hug. Just to know that somebody cares for them. And again, what kind of Christians would we be if we keep saying that we love people, that we have God's love in us, yet we don't show it? What are our actions saying? So God's word wants an action from us. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. These are just the ones that I highlighted. These are action words. Okay? These are things, something that we have to do. All right? So pick up your cross. It doesn't say I'm going to pick up your cross for you. So pick up your cross. It says you must deny themselves. This is something that we need to do. Okay? These are all action words. Okay? It means it requires us to do something, not just to say it. You know, you ever heard the phrase out there, you know, talk is cheap? You know, you talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? I mean, those are words that we hear, but, you know, they're so true. You know, we talk a good game, but when it comes down to it, what are your actions saying? What are you doing about it? Does your action contradict what you're saying? You know, I got Jesus' love in my heart, but you're not showing love. You're not showing compassion. Again, sometimes just a hug or just to be listened. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not just part of your heart, not just on Sundays, not just part-time, right? So that's when you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Again, this is an action. Seeking God, something that we do. You need to go after God, seek God with all your heart. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Again, these are all words of action. You got to knock, right? You got to call out to God. Something that we need to do. You know, we want God to just, we think that we're just going to sit there and not do absolutely nothing and say, okay, God, here's my problem. Okay, take care of it. All right? You know, I my finances are hurting a little bit. I want you to take care of it. And you sit home watching TV and wait for it to happen. How long do you think it's going to take before you realize that nothing's going to change? if you don't do anything about it. Because you know what? Spotlight, God says, you know what? I got your job here. You want your finances to be fixed? I'm going to help you. I'm going to bless you with the job. And God gets you a job. Okay, here. You start Monday morning. And you sit on your chair. Waiting for them to call you. Well, no, they're going to call me and tell me what time to start. I don't know what time I'm supposed to start. I don't know what my job is. So I'm waiting for them to call me. And they're going to tell me what my job is going to be. Good luck. Monday's going to come by. Tuesday's going to come by. Wednesday's going to come by. And you're not going to get that call. And then you're going to look up and go like, Jesus, why did you forsake me? Why did you leave me? It says, all require an action on our part. It says we need to be persistent in being men and women of action and not just words. You know, that's every day at your job. Can your coworkers, by your actions, know who you are? Or is it just what you say? Does your actions speak stronger than your words at your place of employment? When you're with your friends, when no other brothers, sisters around? What does your action say? Because it's all good and dandy when you know a brother and sister's around. You know, oh yeah, you're walking straight and, you know, you're talking a good game. But as soon as, you know, you look around, you don't see no brother and sister, what does your action say? Do you change? You know? Do you now start doing what everybody else is doing? You know? Do the cuss words start coming up? Because now you don't have somebody to hold you accountable. Right? It's easy to, you know, to be, you know, good when somebody's there to kind of like catch you. But again, what do your actions say when there is no one around? Or when you think there's no one around? Because one person's always, always watching. Our Father in heaven. He's always looking. So when you think that nobody's looking, look up. You know, when you think that, you know, you look around like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. Nobody's watching. Nope. Bob ain't around. Yeah. Pastor Donnie ain't around. None of the elders, deacons are around. I'm good. Right? You look forward. You look behind you. You look to your sides. I'm good. I can do what I want to do. Nobody is watching me. You know? And Jesus is up in heaven going like Fred Sanford. You big dummy. Right? And he's looking down. He's just waiting. Because he knows what you're going to do. God is always watching. Always watching, always listening. So believe me, when you think you're going to get away with something, you're not. You're not. Okay? But you know who's always watching too? God is watching, and the people are watching. When you think nobody's watching you, somebody somehow saw you.
In today's world, there's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere. I know people that say, yeah, in this church we got cameras everywhere. You know, I know people that have done that. You know, they'll go somewhere real far to do something wrong, thinking that nobody knows them over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on the other side of town where no one knows me, and I'm going to do what I know I'm not supposed to be doing, but I'm going to do it anyways because I know I can get away with it because nobody knows me. On that day, right, your neighbor, all right, or for some reason a brother from church happens to be in that side of town because he's got to work that day on that side of town. And here you're doing what you think nobody's watching, and you get caught. And then your eyes get real big.
Hey, years ago, we had a lady in the church, and her husband was actually, he had cancer. He was dying of cancer. And, you know, they'd come to church, and she was always there taking care of him. But I went to a restaurant somewhere, and I remember walking in there, and she was there with another guy. And you should, you know, you talk about your,
deer
like
headlights.
A cartoon, you know, the eyes like can bulge out of the head. And she begins speaking in tongues, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, and she could barely even speak because she got busted, you know. And that was the last time we saw her in church. Her husband ended up dying, and she ended up marrying this guy that she was with. But, yeah, it's funny, you know, that someone will always come along. Like you said, you could be in another state.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you run into somebody, and it's like, oh, you know. So it happens. But, hey, it should keep us on our toes, too.
Yeah. I went one time years ago, Florida. First time in Florida. Went on vacation. Years ago. Went to Florida. First time in Florida. Decided to go to this club. Never been to this club in my entire life. I walk in. I'm walking to find a seat. Hey, Ray! It was some Cuban guy that I knew from Southwest Detroit that happened to be in Florida at the same time that I happened to go into this bar that I had never been to in my life. My wife always says, you know everybody. Everybody. I'm like, yeah. So we went to a wedding, one of her friend's wedding. She goes, my friends. These are my friends. I know you don't know anybody in here. Because I think we were just dating at the time or something like that. She goes, you don't know anybody here. These are my friends. And she's, yeah, you don't know. I know everybody in here now. I'm sitting there. Hey, Ray. She's like, oh, no. He does know everybody. It was a friend of one of my brothers. And, we know the guy. So, yeah, we ended up talking for a while. You know, again, you just never know. So when you think that nobody's watching you, when you think your actions, okay, aren't going to be watched by somebody, be very, very, very careful. First of all, God's always watching.
You say, guys, he watches when you don't do anything. I was at Taco Bell this weekend. I carry cash now. I have some cash. I gave my order. She ringed up the order, and she gave me back like more money. I'm like, whoa. So I wait a minute. I went back to my drink. I looked at the receipt. And I said 20. I gave her a 10, and she brought me a 20. So I ran her back. Oh, and told her, and she, oh, look, manager. I got the manager. I had to go through like through her. I was sitting at my, and I moved to sit down and eat my food. And he goes, oh, yeah, we did make a mistake. So I had the money for it, gave it back to him. And it was, I go there a lot. So it's like, it made an impact on them. And I see my Bible open there on the thing. So it kind of made an impact for Christ there.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So there you go. Case in point. I mean, what if he would have just said, you know what? I just got some extra money and kept it. Not thinking that nobody's going to notice. But Dwayne goes to this Taco Bell frequently, sits there, opens his Bible, right? So the managers, everybody sees Dwayne sitting there reading his Bible. It's a good Christian man. Comes in here, sits down, reads his Bible every time he comes in here. All of a sudden, you know, they make a mistake, and he ends up keeping the money. What does his action say then? Do you think they're just going to say Dwayne? No. Christians, we're all included, every single one of us. Don't think that because you do something, it's not going to affect some of us, or maybe even all of us, okay? Because they're going to say, Christians, what kind of Christian is he? He just stole. And doesn't he go to Downriver Christian Community Church? Wait a minute, isn't that Pastor Don? Real quick, because of that, we were giving out the, this is when we were doing the flyers out in the neighborhood and stuff like that. We were walking around, and I'm all, you know, ready, and yes, I'm doing this, you know, I'm working God's kingdom, you know, and I'm knocking at doors, and a few people, yes, thank you, you know, and I'm all pumped up, right? And I get to this one door, I'm from Downriver Christian Community. I didn't even finish the sentence. Pastor Don Wallen? Boom! Slams the door. Right, I go to step out. He opens it again. Don't you ever come in my door again. That man, I'm like, you know what? Have a good day. That's my story about, you know, knowing Pastor Don. So be careful when you mention this thing.
We've had a couple people. We know a couple people, waitresses, so forth. We've heard a couple speak. They say one of the worst tippers are Christians. There's a $30 bill. She said they'll give you a track with a dollar in it. Now, do you think somebody's going to say, oh, a whole dollar, put it in their pocket and want to read that track? I want to be just like him. So everything we do, we should show it. If you can afford to eat out, you can afford to tip. If you can't afford to tip, don't eat out. Go to Burger King. But everything we do is a show for God.
And, amen.
And the people, not everybody is looking to find something wrong, but there's plenty of those people out there. Even if you do something right, it's going to twist it and make something bad out of it. So make sure and always do what's right. That's simple.
Amen. Amen. And that's...
I would have read that tractor.
Yeah, amen. And that's, you know, that again, the world is watching. Everybody's watching to see what, and especially if they know you're a Christian. They're really watching you. And our actions have to speak stronger than what we say. We can't just walk around just saying, I'm a Christian. You know how many people say that and aren't? And their actions say totally opposite of what they're saying? I look at them like, there's nothing about you that's a Christian. Nothing. Not by the way you speak. Not by what you do. Everything that you do say totally opposite of who you are or what you say you are. I mean, people are watching us, so again, you have to be very careful, okay, when you go out there and you're just saying people or telling people that you're a Christian. You need to back it up with your actions. People need to see a difference in your life and say, you know what? He is different. She is different. I want to be or go where he or she goes because their life has changed. They seem happier, friendlier, caring, compassionate, understanding. That's who Christians are supposed to be. It says we need to be persistent in being men and women of action, not just words. We are men and women of the Most High, the Almighty. The world wants us to quit or to be quiet, but we will be bold and speak of Christ the Lord. And I wrote on it, don't be afraid to fight. This last video I'm going to show, it's about that. You know, it's about not being, the title is don't be a coward. Okay, don't be a coward. You know, it's very easy for us to sometimes shut down when the world's throwing things at us. We get, you know, timid. And the Bible says God gave us not a power of timid, a power, right? Not a spirit of timid, but a power. We serve the Most High, right? Our God is greater. And we sing that song here, my God is greater. So if my God is greater, don't be afraid to speak God's truth. But again, sometimes you need to do it with your actions, not just talking about it. So don't be afraid to go out there and tell the world when they are wrong that they are wrong. When they say you're a Christian, yes, I am a Christian. And this is where I go. And back it up with your actions, with what you do. I'll show this last video.
God hates a coward. God hates a coward. Proverbs 21 and 8 says, but the cowardly and the unbelievers, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. God wrote that, I didn't. Who leads the list of that ragtag mob? The cowardly. Look at your spiritual forefathers in the faith. Moses with a shepherd's staff invades the royal court of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who's considered God on earth, who has the most mighty army that any nation ever assembled together. And he looked him in the face and said, let my people go. Look at David, the shepherd boy, bringing a sling. And David and Goliath is coming against him. And David looks at him and said, you come to me with a sword and spear, but I am coming to you in the name of the Lord. Duck Leroy, here comes an exceeding head rake. You're not going to get over. Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. 500 Roman soldiers come from the Antonian fortress to arrest one Jewish rabbi praying in the garden. Think about that. 500 battle-ready Roman soldiers to arrest one Jewish rabbi praying with 12 sleeping disciples. They said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And they fell on the ground like dead men. Jesus was no coward. I want to tell you something. Jesus lost his life at Calvary, but he didn't lose the fight. God will give you only what you're willing to fight for. Satan attacks you because you're God's child and he hates God's property. Satan attacks you because you're the light of the world and he's the prince of darkness. Satan attacks you because you're the truth and he's the father of lies. Satan attacks you because you're a soldier of the cross. You're anointed. You have the word of God. You have covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can take the sword of the truth of God and attack the gates of hell. You're a threat to him. Whenever you roll over in bed, every devil in Bexar County gets a migraine headache. That's why he hates you. And to those of you who name the name of Christ, stop allowing Satan and his demonic goons to destroy your marriage. Put on the whole armor of God and fight back. Quit allowing him to attack your health. The Bible says by his stripes we are healed. Quit allowing him to attack your finances. The Bible says God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will make him give it back to you sevenfold. Stop allowing the devil to rob you of your peace because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Stop allowing Satan to rob you of your joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Do you want it? Then fight for it. Do you want it? Then fight for it.
Amen. You know, the world always wants to try and put us down. They always want to criticize us and the Christians this and the Christians that, and you know, they think they're holier than anybody else. You know, it's up to us to either prove them right or prove them wrong. A lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of Christians prove them right. You know, true Christians will prove them wrong. You know, not just what we say, but what we do. Because the world's always watching us. And, you know, and the title was, you know, don't be a coward. I don't want to be a coward. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a coward. You know, I want to be bold and courageous. That's what the Bible tells us, right? To be courageous, right? Because God is always with you. He'll be with you. He'll guide you. So when the world is out there attacking you and trying to destroy you or do whatever they think they want to do, be bold. Be a coward and like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know where to go. Who's going to help me? Go to Jesus. Go to your knees. Prayer time. Conversation time with God. And he will give you everything you need to fight that fight. Everything you need to keep moving forward, to be victorious, to conquer the enemy. Amen? Amen. Amen.